SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Humdiddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Rocking and rolling here on a Monday afternoon, the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. And for the next hour, all the hottest topics, which includes the entire hot topic, just might be Selection Sunday from yesterday, how your brackets are going to shape out, and also the hot picks. Are there tough paths for, like, UConn? Are there easy paths for Purdue? Did North Carolina get a break where they're lining up? Or how about Arizona? Away we go into a Monday, fast-paced Monday, Kev. It's time to put your dancing shoes on.
Yeah, excited about it. A lot of intrigue, certainly. I think the most criticism that I can remember being put on the committee, I don't know how they'll respond. The thing is, we won't know until a year from now. But man, the inconsistencies that were riddled throughout the decisions and first time evers of team inside the top 25 or team inside the top 30 of the net not being within. So all of that really, really interesting, DRS, and leading us into what should be a great tournament.
It is, and everybody loves Selection Sunday, right? 6 o'clock, you gather on the TV to see who was in or out. There wasn't a ton of intrigue overall from, like, snubs entering into the day. I think most people probably thought, and rightfully so, last week we were led to believe, hey, St. John's picks up a win, they're in. They did, and they didn't end up beating UConn, but everybody thought that was going to be a matter that wouldn't even have factored in. Now, here's the issue with it. There were some bid stealers out there, but if you were looking from the NCAA, and what they were telling you was, like, St. John's wasn't even, like, the last four in quadrant here. So they were way off. And maybe, yes, they absolutely... But how about this? They beat UConn. They probably still didn't even get in at that point. Who are they jumping? Four teams over that? I don't even know if it was even possible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a win over, you know, the number one overall seed would have maybe made that level of difference. But, yeah, St. John's, you know, is obviously a surprise. The fact that you're right, they weren't on that first four line. Virginia getting in, I know ultimately some felt that it wasn't a shock, but a lot of people didn't want to see them in. But even, Donnie, what they did with teams that were in. I mean, New Mexico is at 11, obviously doesn't make any sense. FAU was clearly on the bubble. They ended up an 8 seed. Yep. And, you know, those were just two of them that stood out. Like, it was really, really interesting how this, again, all did land here.
Now, have you filled out a bracket yet? Because I do the same thing every year. The minute it comes out, I fill a bracket out just to get my eyes on everything at first. Like, the first thought, like, no handicap. I don't even know what the lines were early this morning when I did it, like, 3 a.m. It's like, you know what? Let me get my toes wet here. Let me just get a feel for what I think is going to happen and how it plays out, because I do like the fact that you're uninhibited when you do that. It's like, all right, this isn't my final bracket. Let me just get the starting point here. So I did put in some upsets in there, but I just look at that UConn bracket. And we had a poll today on the early line, which is the Fade the Public poll, after every hour number two. And it was like, who is going to get knocked out first or has the best chance to get knocked out first of the number one seeds? Now, I like to say this, Kevin. In my bracket that I did this morning, which, again, this is my final one, there'll be a lot of changes made. Picked UConn to win it all. In the poll, I picked UConn to get knocked out first because I think they actually have the best chance to get knocked out early from all the number one seeds. Sounds crazy, but it makes sense.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. That makes they no have sense the best. That you have they're them the, winning the
they
title.
They are the best team in college basketball. If it was a seven-game series, they would wipe the floor with every single team in the NCAAs. But sure. Their path to victory, they have a harder path than any of the other number one seeds. So I said, you know what? I think they can win the championship, but I'm not going to be surprised when they're the first one knocked out because why? The gauntlet they have to go through just to get to the Final Four, that's not even fair. It should never happen here. So I always get like, hey, make sure you play for seeding and make sure you win your conference. No, don't worry about that because the NCAA is going to mess your seed up anyway. No way UConn should have that hard of a path to get to the Final Four. That's ridiculous.
I mean, I don't disagree with that whatsoever. You know, it's almost, and I'm not happy about it, it's, you know, it's poetic that the year after they insanely seeded UConn a four last year, they end up putting one of the four best teams in college as a four this year in the UConn bracket. How is all, again, like, I do not know why we play conference tournaments for any other reason than to make the overall money. Quality of the tournament worse.
Yes.
Well, I guess that as well. But, like, Auburn won the SEC tournament and is yes. behind Kentucky. It's ridiculous. Nobody thinks Kentucky's
better.
Let
me ask you a question on this, though. Let me ask you a question because I was thinking about this last night. If you are, let's go Tennessee, right? Tennessee won the regular season in the SEC. Auburn won the conference tournament. Who's the SEC champion?
They separate the two things, but I mean, but like, auto goes to the conference tournament.
But I understand that. But like, when you look back on it, because they'll raise like a problem. Do they raise a banner as conference champions?
I think
I'm not talking about Tennessee. Likely. I'm talking about like Auburn for winning like three games in a tournament, which is wild to me. Like, I think it should be a bonus. I don't like when I look at it, it's like, who won the regular season? Like, that's who should be the champion of the league. Like, granted, the automatic bid comes in, like, hey, like, conference tournament. I don't even know if it should be called champion, to be honest. I'm at like a loss for this. I don't know how to quantify it. Who is the actual champion of the conference?
Well, here's Donnie. UC Irvine won the Big West. Long Beach State is in the tournament. So, I mean, if you want to talk about what's more valuable and what you should be hanging the banner for.
And I know where you go, because there's no way to get around it, because conference tournaments compared to the regular season, they don't even, like, you should be crowning the champion in the automatic bid for your regular season. You play 20 games, that team finishes, but yet, you know, a lucky bounce here or there in a one-game playoff. It's harsh the way it is. It adds a lot of excitement, but it's just wild, like, Tennessee wins, right? And hey, like you saw it, like point to the finger, ring finger. Dalton Connect was saying after they won that final game to do it. But then there's Auburn, like you know, see, like the family reunion a couple years later, like yeah, we won the SEC. No, we did. No, we did. No, we did. Like who actually won it?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like they both will hang banners for it. So college basketball in that way is unique, but that's how it goes. Yeah, like again, but I'm still a bit curious of this phantom bracket you did and where you have the other one seeds being eliminated with UConn going all the way. Did you put all the one seeds in the Final Four, Shannon Sharp style?
Let me see who is my the Final Four is UConn, Baylor, Houston, Creighton.
Mm.
So that was my first initial run through. I've always, because I actually, you know, it's funny you say that because I've always had my eye on Baylor, but I think Baylor got a great bracket. I can't stand Arizona. I think they're way overrated. Same thing with North Carolina in a terrible ACC. So I was trying to be like, now's the time. We're going to weigh into like where you fit into those, who's going to win it all and what price you're going to take. Because now I'm excited. Again, I think UConn is the best team. I think UConn can win this whole thing. But UConn being in that tough bracket puts everybody into play, which is awesome. We'll talk about that much, much more right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Monday afternoon, the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin, and all on the front of our minds right now is the NCAA tournament. The fun we're going to have over the next couple weeks will be absolutely fantastic. We'll get to the phone lines here in just a moment. But just to continue and set the table here, Kevin, on what we're anticipating for this, you know, Final Four run from possibly UConn or Houston or Purdue or North Carolina. Do you know what I like about this? Because I did pick UConn. Again, it's not a pool that's finalized yet. I just wanted to go through to see what I liked here. But the fact that UConn has such a tough run here, and if you're taking a look at the current odds, at least if we're looking at FanDuel and who's going to be able to win the national championship, UConn has dropped from early this morning. They're down to plus 370 with that type of run. The reason I wanted to bring it up and start the conversation here, Kevin, is that plus 370 for me is unbettable. Even if I think UConn is the best team right now, I'm not playing plus 370 for a team to win six games. I'm just not going to do that, which brings in so many other teams into play. If UConn gets knocked out, boy, you are flush across the board with good basketball teams at great prices.
Well, it depends how you... It depends what you want to do, though, Donnie. Like, you want to bet four teams, right? Or three or four teams?
Probably. I don't know. Usually it's three. Like, I actually have three teams picked out right now, which is Houston, Creighton, and Marquette. Because, and again, it doesn't come from each quadrant. I'm just looking at saying the best path, even if one of those teams knocks one of them off for a chance to win, and even maybe being on the same side, do you know what I mean, of the bracket, which I believe they all are. Creighton, Marquette, and Houston, the same side of the bracket. So theoretically, you can't meet in the final with two teams here, but I might be okay with that if I get the draws that I think make sense. But I haven't finalized that.
Yeah, my point was just going to be, right, like Connecticut doesn't work for you because you're looking to bet more than one team, more than two teams, and your dream scenario is also laying off, you know, numbers at the end of it all. Like, yes. If you bet Connecticut at plus 370, 4-1, look around, you're just looking to win the bet, which is fine, mm-hmm. which you can do, right? You certainly can do that, but I think what's difficult is if, you know, UConn, let's say they do end up playing Auburn, what's that line? Four?
For
three
what?
And a half? Oh. If we see UConn and Auburn play?
Yeah, not that high. It wouldn't be that high.
You know, and then if they did win that game and they had to play Iowa State, you know, that line's also pretty short. I mean, heck, the FAU line's not going to be as big as, you know, I mean, I know FAU's ultimately come back a bit, but still, relative to maybe where some of these other teams sit, you know, it's an interesting spot. Michigan State, if they beat Mississippi State, that'll be a short line with North Carolina. But, you know, FAU is obviously a team with pedigree.
Yes. Let's get to the phone lines here. Have some fun. 844-843-6879. Andrew from Virginia is first up on deck here on a Monday, right here on Moneyline. Andrew, what's up, man?
Guys, the selection committee did me no favors, none.
Oh, talk to me.
I have these beautiful tickets. I have UConn at 9-1, Iowa State at 50-1, and Auburn at 25-1, and boom. Kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding
me? My goodness.
That's brutal. I do have a 40-1 Creighton that I like, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm pretty bummed about that. Now, number one seed to go down. I've been doing some research today. In the last 13 tournaments, 10 number ones have lost in the round of 32. So that's 10 out of 52 matchups, 19.2%. Last year, Arkansas beat Kansas. The year before, North Carolina, Baylor, Loyola, Chicago beat Illinois in 2021. So, what I think, if I had to pick one of them, I would go North Carolina. I really like this Mississippi State team. I think they're going to beat up Michigan State, who shouldn't have made the tournament, mm-hmm. and maybe North Carolina overlooks Mississippi State. They could have beat Auburn. They beat Tennessee in the regular season. They beat them twice. They beat them in the conference tournament. Don't sleep on Mississippi State, plus 15,000. I think they can get it done there and make a run. What do you think?
Chris Jans, the dentist, Kevin. The one thing I do like here is, you know, when you're lining up, and I like to use Ken Palm pretty much for some of these statistics as opposed to, obviously, the eye test. I want to take a team, Kevin, that's they have to be in the top 20 in defense. is like that benchmark where it's like, okay, where does this start at? Like, give me a team like Houston, who you know is going to play great defense, right? 6-1 price here. Do you have a breaking point on offense and defense that maybe they have to like hold up to a certain standard?
I don't. What do you mean in that Houston isn't good enough offensively? You're saying, or
no, like a where number? It starts, like I can't have it. Like, let's just say my team is really good on offense and stinks on defense. Because the one thing I love about the tournament is if you're neutral court and your offense isn't holding up, boy, you better be able to lean on a great defense here to hold you in that game. So I do take a look at some of those factors and say, like, where does it start? Like, the one thing you know with Houston, on a day-to-day basis for the most part, if their offense is okay, their defense is going to carry the day. So when I look at some of those top teams, like top five in the country right now, it was Iowa State, Houston, Tennessee, Auburn, and of course Rutgers, who's not actually in it. North Carolina comes in here at sixth overall. Virginia at seventh. Michigan State, eighth. San Diego State, ninth. Kansas even comes in at 10th. Like, I love a top 20 defense that can sort of like put on and say, you know what? I think we can hold down the fort until that offense comes around.
I will say what stands out to me, though, is when I get a top defense that doesn't have this gimmicky tempo. Look, I don't care that Virginia won one tournament and they've been awful in this thing basically every year aside from that, it feels, right? And when we look at, like, you can kind of cheat the system and get a good defense. I know that Houston has a great defense. I understand that. But that 348 tempo, I don't want that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, because it's not a slight, like, on the defense, because it only goes possession to possession. They could have three possessions as opposed to 300 possessions. But I hear what you're saying.
So slow, you're always playing half-court defense, right? You're preventing anyone from being able to run out on you. And
look at Auburn, top 58 tempo, number 4 overall defense.
That's preposterous. Yeah. North Carolina being 41st in tempo and 6th in defense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like that. I'm sorry, that's far more impressive to me than what Houston
Arizona
does or what Virginia does. We pick on Virginia, right? But Houston does what Virginia does. They do. It's very, very similar, right? Slow the game down as all hell. The defensive schemes are gorgeous and brilliant, and they consistently work. I mean, like, who did they play the other day, the second game? TCU. I mean, the game was 7 minutes in. TCU's a tournament team. And TCU hadn't scored yet. I'm not saying that Houston's defense isn't legit, but I think it is. They've almost gamed the system. But if someone can get hot against them, right, and then they're playing from behind, it's just a nightmare. I mean, the way they got pummeled by Iowa State, I know it's like, it's one game, you're overreacting. Like, am I overreacting to what happened to them against Iowa State? I don't feel like I am.
Like, just the bottom dropped out in that game. There were a couple of scores that were like, ooh, that's kind of head-scratching. And also, which included NC State winning 5 days in a row, which was outlandish, which, again, backs up my point how stinky the ACC is from top to bottom, where NC State could make a run like that. And yes, I'm angry at North Carolina because it blew up a parlay and also a future for me on maybe the easiest final game they were supposed to have. Like, oh, look at that. The last leg in this one is NC State. Yeah, that's guaranteed, man. I don't have to watch that game. They couldn't get out of their own way. That was pretty impressive performance by NC State, but an infuriating performance for me for UNC, which makes me just go, you know what? This is why I thought the ACC stunk this entire year.
Well, you know, we haven't mentioned this yet, but and I don't bring this up because it didn't go this way, Don, but you was like, hey, I wonder if you bet all the top teams in the tournaments, right?
Yes.
You know, how would that go?
Any of them did.
Well, one, UConn, right? That's there. Houston loses in the final. Purdue doesn't make the final. Tennessee doesn't win a game. North Carolina loses a final. Yep. And am I forgetting one more? Oh, and Arizona didn't make the final.
Yeah.
I mean, they went 1-5.
Yep.
1-5, those top
teams. I thought it would make money, too. I thought you would at least go like 3-3, a little plus money down. Worst case scenario. Yeah, they got hammered, which, again, shows how hard it is to win 6 games against upper-level competition on neutral courts. So hard to win a national championship. But I'm going to bring up an NFL topic next. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes they say, you know, all news is good news, right? If you're looking to get out there, promote yourself, doesn't matter good or bad, everything should be good as long as your name is in the people's mouths, Kevin. So as I take a look here this morning going over, I like hot takes. Hot takes are fun. You get to pick them apart. You get to have some fun. Sometimes you might agree with it. How about this take from Robert Griffin III this morning that got 6.8 million views? As he states, Kevin, Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and tell the Chicago Bulls, I ain't coming. So, in his two-minute video that he's talked about, said, you know what, they didn't surround Justin Fields, they won't surround you as well. Get out of town, pull a fast one, they're not going to support you that way. So, promptly gets bombed on by hundreds of people saying, let me get this straight, Robert. You don't think they're going to help out their new quarterback by getting DJ Moore last year, by getting, you know, another elite wide receiver from the Los Angeles Chargers in Keenan Allen, signing DeAndre Swift, already have Cole Kmet there, and a top nine pick that you might even use again on offense. Now, he doubled down on it and goes, well, all right, well, if they really want to create a good environment for Caleb Williams or any other rookie they draft, which we know it's going to be Caleb Williams, they should sign head coach Matt Eberflus to an extension through 2027. Then your head coach and quarterback knows they can grow together. I mean, he's just doubling down here, sounding ludicrous out here, K-Dub.
It is an odd comment to make post the Keenan Allen move. I understand if you're concerned about what it's going to be as the quarterback for the Bears, right? Because they have never had a, you know, historically great quarterback in the franchise's history. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of it. I think, to be honest, the situation that is more puzzling to me is just how likely it is that Eberflus is fired at the end of this season. And how bad that is for Caleb Williams. Like, it doesn't, forget the situation now. Like, hey, your head coach is going to be fired after the first year. Disaster. Mm-hmm. Disaster. Like, that's not how it's supposed to go. Now, maybe he won't be, but.
Well, it's not even a head coach. It's like, who's the offensive coordinator? Like, the name slips my mind, but let's say that guy does well with him this year. Like, we looked at Bobby Slowick, right? It was like, hey, Slowick's probably gone. Might be a head coach. Shane Waldron, yes. So let's just say Shane Waldron has a very good season with Caleb Williams. Probably going to be a head coach next year. So you're right back in that same thing. Like, oh, no, look at that. Another offensive coordinator. So let's just say the next year, and the Bears are decent. New offensive coordinator. He gets picked off the tree. Which I thought, if you were an organization, I preface this by saying, one thing Robert Griffin III is not wrong with. The Bears are a horrendous organization, top to bottom. It's been that way for a long time. The decision-making is questionable at best. But you can't tell me. And here's what I want to know from, like, the inside of the Bears, like down at Hallis Hall. You tell me you picked up to the phone, you picked the phone up to some of the hottest candidates for coordinators / head coaches in college and said, what do you think about this? We're going to spend a ton of this cap space, improve this roster by leaps and bounds. You might have the best quarterback talent we've seen over the past 20 years as your rookie quarterback. How about a 5-year deal for $40 million? You come in and coach this thing. They turned them down on that? I don't buy that. So when I remember we were on the radio, and it's like, hey, Eberflus is coming back. It's like, boy, that's odd. Like, you know, you're getting your franchise quarterback and you're going with a defensive guy as the head coach on a team that wasn't very good to begin with. Now, granted, as I just said, Kevin, they really improved their team. But the Eberflus thing, I don't care who, you're going to have new head coordinators every year, even if they're good, which is wild to think about.
But you can survive that. You can. I agree with you. It isn't the ideal situation, right? You could argue Josh Allen's had bumps without Dable, but you can survive these things for me, Donnie. If this season Eberflus keeps to the job and Waldron is hired elsewhere, that means things went very well. So you'll live with that. Do you know what I'm saying? It meant things went very well for him in his rookie season. That's not my concern. My concern is if Eberflus gets fired, by the way, it wouldn't be surprising mm-hmm. if Ryan Poles got fired as well then. So now listen.
Incredible.
Not many GMs would get hired and would look to move on from Caleb Williams, but we've talked about this. The worst thing that can happen to a quarterback is the people that drafted you get moved on from, mm-hmm. unless you're Daniel Jones. But other than that, it's usually an absolute disastrous outcome. So that's kind of the puzzling and worrisome thing about the situation, I would say.
Yeah, it's one to watch, but I'm sort of being lifted up, because if Caleb works out, that Bears team's going to be very good for a long time, if it works out. Now, granted, we're not really rolling the dice on, hey, this guy's a latecomer to the scene, and he had a great pro day, and now he's our franchise guy. You saw this coming from a long way away, how good Caleb was. So we'll see if that, you know, pertains to the NFL and how's that play out. Now, other big news in the NFL that took place over the weekend, Russell Wilson, obviously we know, signs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett on the move. He goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Backup quarterback situation. I'm sure the Eagles were like, you know what? We're not going to spend a ton of money here, but let's get a guy who started quarterback, scored a games in the NFL. And recently, and away you go. But the question mark here for me was, the Chicago Bears end up trading Justin Fields, which again means now they're drafting number one overall, and they're going to take Caleb Williams, as we always thought they would. But Justin Fields goes to the Steelers, and I'm sitting around myself when I first saw it, like, ooh, I like this move for the Steelers. This is good, man. You get these two quarterbacks basically on one-year contracts to fight this thing out in training camp, and may the best man win. And before I could gather my thoughts, we get the old sources. Russ is the starter. Fields is the backup. I lost my mind when I heard that.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, I think what you've been saying about Tomlin for a long time is now kind of becoming
is that sources? K-Dub, was that sources Tomlin? Like, Tomlin sent that text that says, no, it's Russ. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your source.
And I think, by the way, you know, why does this happen? I think they promised Russ the job, and that's how they got him to sign for the $1 million in Pittsburgh.
Correct.
But, of course, the point then is, why would you do that? It is not that important to bring Russell Wilson into your franchise. Like, give yourselves a chance with Caleb Williams and see how it goes. Justin Fields. and look, obviously Justin is getting, you know, chances that, you know, you could maybe argue other guys from his class haven't gotten. Like, to be fair, no one's given Trey Lance a chance. And yeah, it is a bit mind-boggling the way his career
has got to be the worst practice player ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, yeah, that or he's, who knows? So, you know, Trey Lance didn't get the full chance. You know, Mac Jones, as much, people don't like Mac Jones, but Mac Jones ended up in an impossibly unfavorable situation.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave him his offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia. Bill Belichick stopped signing wide receivers 6 years ago. It's why Brady left him. So yeah, Mac wasn't in a great position. Now, Zach Wilson got enough chances, okay? That's all fine with how that played out. But if you are going to bring Justin Fields in, the reason why people want to give him these chances is he has flashed that running athleticism that is game-changing. That's what it comes down to, I think, more than anything. That, and people feel like it's all the Bears' fault, right? Like, Trey Lance, it's hard to blame the Niners because things have gone correctly for San Francisco regardless of him. Even Mac Jones, people don't want to blame New England that much because it's still Bill Belichick. And who are you going to side with, Mac Jones or Bill Belichick? But, you know, Justin Fields, because he's coming from Chicago, has been given that benefit of the doubt, and people say give him a chance. And that's, but if you're Pittsburgh, the main reason to give him a chance is you've done the 9-8, 10-7 thing. You show up in the playoffs in the first round, you get embarrassed on a yearly basis. Like, that's how this goes. So who cares that you have, you know, Russell Wilson could get you 10 wins? What is that? Correct. It doesn't accomplish anything for them. For some teams, winning 10 games is an accomplishment. It is. I am not a believer that the team that had the second most successful season is the team that has the number one overall pick. Like, you either win the Super Bowl or you want to draft first. That's ridiculous. That's not how we judge things. At least we shouldn't judge things like that. But for Pittsburgh, it is how I'm judging things. Because it's been a very long time since we've taken the Steelers serious in any real way. Even when, remember when they were 11-0, Donnie, and everybody who knew anything knew they weren't that good?
It's also like we talk about different franchises, right? You see Kirk Cousins get signed to Atlanta. Not a lot of love in Atlanta, right? 2016, last time they won the division, never won a Super Bowl. So when they say, all right, we signed Kirk Cousins, we're the best team in this division, we should win this, we should get a home playoff game, nobody's going to fault the Atlanta Falcons, like myself. I love the move for Cousins, puts them as a true player in their division, something they really aren't on a year-to-year basis, technically. But when you look at the Steelers, now let's get back to the same point. They're about winning Lombardis. How many can you stack in the trophy case? That's what matters. And it's almost like it shifted there to say, like, okay, let's just make sure we have a playoff caliber team and see what happens, which is so odd because you're either all in or you're all out. Now, the floor, right, when we talk about like building a house, like there's no basement on the Steelers right now as long as they don't have disastrous injuries, which means they should win at least 9 games next year. But nobody's talking about them. And here's the thing. I love the move. Steelers are playing everybody like a fiddle, man. Their GM, unbelievable stuff. This is great stuff to watch it play out. And I say to myself, you do realize they're roughly 10 to 1. Oh, that's great numbers for a Super Bowl. No, you're 10 to 1 to win your division, fourth by a mile. So when I look at the Steelers, and the argument I was trying to make this morning also was, if you get Russell Wilson, it's a winning season. Awesome. He's not your future. He's going to turn 36 during the football season. You have a one-year free look at Justin Fields coming over.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't know if he's going to be that guy, Kevin. But from what I'm hearing, too, is like, well, Russ is going to be our future. We want to sign him to a long-term deal. And I go, well, what did you get Fields for? What's the point of that here? So we'll talk about this more in the next segment. There's some things that don't make sense. Or, hey, let Russ play this year. Then you're going to take a $25 million flyer on Fields to see if he can play the next year? Just idiocy by the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Crazy, crazy times. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rocking and rolling here on a Monday afternoon as we await. By the way, K-Dub, some people better get reminded of this. Tournament actually starts tomorrow, the first four, Tuesday and also Wednesday. And then obviously Thursday gets popping off. So we're ready for a lot of good stuff here. But the hot takes continue to roll in, Kevin, across the NFL landscape. Correct me if I'm wrong here, because there's so many hot takes, it's hard for me to keep an eye on exactly who said what. But I want to say, like last week, like Dan Orlovsky, I think was trying to tell us that Jaden Daniels probably should go ahead of Caleb Williams. Was that one of them? Did I hear that correctly?
I think that did happen. I think someone mentioned that possibly. I feel like maybe I heard about that. I could see it. I'm
I want to
sure.
say. Yeah, I want to say it was something wild like that. So let's just go ahead. And probably Dan Orlovsky probably did say that. And then immediately the next day, named three more quarterbacks that should go number one. And then draft them and be like, yeah, all along, Caleb Williams. But having said that, do you know the latest reports that are coming through now? And help me out with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Reports, as it's listed, sources, quote, I wouldn't be shocked if Malik Nabers is the number one wide receiver off the board.
Yeah,
thoughts on
I did
that.
See that.
Why, though?
I saw that today.
Do you believe it, though?
Was it from Daniel? It wasn't from Orlovsky, though.
It's like at Move the Sticks Daniel, and then somebody else, too.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, yeah. Donnie, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Daniel Jeremiah is not a hot take guy, though. Like, you could, if you want to tell me Orlovsky is, like, that's fine. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, well, sure, it's all good. But that's not really what Daniel Jeremiah does. That's a guy whose entire job is the NFL draft, and that's him taking what he's hearing and kind of going off of that. So I would be, I think it's possible, you know. It would be surprising. I'm not saying it wouldn't be surprising, but it's a wide receiver. Like, I think wide receivers can get moved around a little bit more, DRS. You find it, like, nonsensical?
And I understand why these companies do it, because they all have sites that are built around the NFL, and what better way to get somebody to click on your site than say, look what I just got this story here. Sources are saying Nabers is better than, you know, Marvin Harrison.
It's not that. Like, I don't know why you just chalk it up to that. I don't think that's what it is.
But what could it be then? What would be the reason?
People are actually considering taking Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison.
What, if they're like 25th and like, we don't have a pick, but I might do it. There's nobody. Like, you could argue, like, the best player in the draft overall is Marvin Harrison Jr., like, the best player Forget about quarterbacks.
I understand that, Donnie.
But I'm not saying Malik Nabers going to be bad either. But sometimes I just, again, I understand what the hot, like, again, Dan Orlovsky. Hey, look, man, we've been talking about the Dre for 30 straight days. Let me rock this out here real quick. I know I'm going to get feedback. Hey, by the way, Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams. I watch tape. And it's like, okay, here we go down this path. I just feel like granted, Kevin, put yourself in a GM's shoes, right? You have let's just say the fifth overall pick, four quarterbacks are gone. You need a wide receiver. Can you survive as a general manager if you take Nabers and he's a good wideout, but Marvin Harrison is doing things we expect him to do, like being a 10-time All-Pro?
100% you can. 100% you can. Howie took Rager. Come on now. Stop.
Well, I understand. I mean, a little bit. Different scenario. That was the owner's pick, but yeah, I guess if an owner overrules you and puts it in there, I get it.
Well, then we'll blame it on. Then they'll blame it on the owner, Donnie. I mean, but again, it doesn't mean that a team isn't falling in love with Malik Nabers. Like, Donnie, while all these teams are watching Jaden Daniels, Donnie, go look at the Malik Nabers season. Malik Nabers put up a better statistical season than Marvin. I'm not telling you that I prefer
a much better quarterback too, though.
Yeah, but no, I understand that, Don. But you think that there's not one out of 32 NFL franchises. Two out of 32 franchises that are rating Malik Nabers higher? That's really stunning for you to hear?
No, I understand that because there's always one tool in the shed, right? Who was telling you that, you know, Caleb Williams won't go number one. So, I mean, everybody's going to have a different opinion sort of that way. But I always like it comes up here. It's like, you know what? I got a hot story here. One guy says he thinks Nabers might go ahead of, you know, Marvin Harrison, and that gets out there. I love it. I love smokescreen season because I don't buy any of it. Like, you watch with your two eyes last year, you know who the better players are across the board. You know who's on that front and center from start to finish. And it's always been like Harrison, I think, is going to be a surefire dominant wideout right off the bat. Malik Nabers, we'll see. Maybe in the old SEC, but you know what? Nabers might be that guy. I don't play any defense in the SEC anymore. Wide open with a Heisman Trophy quarterback slinging it to you. That's going to add some statistics up there. I'm not knocking the kid. He might be great, but no way is anybody taking Marvin Harrison after Malik Nabers. I just don't see it.
I mean, again, and all the odds absolutely suggest that to be correct, though they, you know, there has been a drop a bit in the pricing around the draft of, you know, first non-quarterback selected. Malik Nabers, Donnie, was at one point 75-1. He's now plus 600. I mean, that's just the reality of it, DR. Like, then just bet Marvin at minus 650.
Yes. I think that's the best one. Parlay it as your anchor across the board on draft night. Go Caleb. What's it pay to go? Caleb number one and first wide out is my guy Marvin Harrison. At least plus 200. What is it? Give me it.
I wish they'd offer it as a parlay to actually see what it is, but they of course don't let you.
That would be a terrible one. Let's get to the phone lines here. Let's have some fun. Let's keep the good times going here on a Monday. Moose is calling in. He's ready to go. It's a Monday on Moneyline with Donnie and Kevin. What's up there, Moose?
I tell you what, several things is what's up. So, first of all, I just want to thank you and K-Dub for turning me into the sports fan degenerative better, because now I listen to Kevin on Saturdays. And, you know, Kevin, I have to give you a lot of compliments on having Joe on. She's been spot on with the hockey picks. I absolutely love that segment of your show. So, absolutely wonderful.
Easy.
And then, I tell you what, being a Buckeyes fan, I would run for Marvin Harrison. I wouldn't go even near him because I am seeing shades of gray from a former Pittsburgh Steelers star wide receiver. I mean, I can just see what this guy's going to be like in a few years. You know, and, you know, give me a grind knock guy like Nick Chubb or somebody that has a chip on his shoulder that wants to come up, like the gentleman that that you guys were talking about before, but Harrison didn't even show up and give the interview. I mean, okay, the writing's on the wall. I'm sorry. Be a good judgment of character. But here is my ultimate bone to pick, okay? And, gentlemen, thank you so much. This is the best show on the earth. But why are we not talking about the NIT, okay? And, man, there's so much going on with the NIT, like Indiana State. How about their story? Ohio State firing their coach, and they're going on this run. They came damn close to beating Michigan. I think it was Michigan State or Illinois State. I don't know. This is what happens when you turn 65. You start forgetting shit. But I just want to share this with you. Oh, hey, and here's a game that I would love to see is Bradley playing Loyola. because I used to live in East Peoria, Illinois, and Bradley is a very, very well-known school, for, especially for their basketball. But I just want to share this with you gentlemen, okay? All right? Yes, yesterday was Selection Sunday, but PRS asked me what was more important than Selection Sunday yesterday. Go ahead.
I mean, probably something to eat. Something to eat on Sunday night. What was it?
Absolutely not. Grandson
see
took
that?
His first
step. Wow.
You guys have a great day. I love your show. Kevin, I love listening to you on the weekends. As always, shout out to JP. I'm out of here.
There you go. Look at that. By the way, and by the way you celebrate, Kevin, the child taking 10 steps, have a big meal. You know what I mean? That's the way you do it. That's the way you celebrate it. Best way. Yes. Best way all the way around. What were you reading? Text? What's going on over there?
No, I mean, I'm looking through. There's more, some more bracketology. Just, you know, people excited about it all. NIT, now, do you want, people not
yeah, by the way, Moose,
accepting bids.
The NIT is the new bowl season, pal. It's a wrap. It's a wrap on the NIT. Let's put it to bed. Let's remember it for what it was, the National Invitational Tournament. It used to be a big deal. Let's put a wrap on that thing because most teams now get accepted. But, hey, look, the portal's opening up, pal. Got better things to do than go play a basketball game in front of 30 people. It's the way it is. And you know what the only shame of this weekend was, Kevin, too? That Temple didn't complete the ultimate comeback in the American and win that bad boy. Shame.
Have you, by chance, seen the NIT bracket?
No, I did not.
So I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. No gimmick. It's actually really good. But I think it is. I think it is. If you've been involved in the college basketball season, there's a bunch of teams in this NIT that you're still interested in, right? Like top teams like Villanova and Seton Hall, the Indiana States of the world are there, Cincinnati and UCF. Like I really, and I know like this largely, big scale, Donnie, this won't matter.
Yeah.
But if the Big 12 is as amazing as everybody tells me, like I need to see UCF and Cincinnati make little runs in this NIT. Like it's not.
I mean,
just
the question is,
now.
It is like bowl season. Don't like half their rosters leave like today because the portal's open? How's that even work?
PRS, though, like, truly. When this stuff happens, people's initial reaction, this is why the portal's bad, / all the kids care about is money.
Yes.
Money, why in the world do they allow the portal to open? The day the season ends.
I love it.
Like, Donnie, it's not the kid's fault. I think you're insane if you think it is. What are they supposed to do? Like, St. John's turned down a spot in the NIT. I'm supposed to get mad if a kid on Villanova doesn't play in the NIT?
Yes.
And like, that doesn't make any sense, of course.
Let's collapse the NIT. Again, you know my theory. Expand the tournament. We don't worry about this. We don't worry about it. We're all in.
No, but Donnie, like this, you don't need to expand the tournament for. Like, I know you've made that point many times with bowl season and again, like that. Donnie, this is the easiest fix of all time. And this is the same issue in college football. Just back up the transfer portal date. Like, this is not difficult. I saw a tweet. It might have been from Jeff Goodman. I'm not positive. Of saying, but I don't know if it was him. Do you think we will get a player to enter the portal who's on a tournament team?
No.
I would be stunned. I'd be absolutely stunned by that.
No, you're sticking that one out, which is why it's great. Why more playoff teams get in there, hence making the tournament. We don't get to see any of this stuff. Like, Indiana was like, yeah, we're not going because I gotta recruit in the portal tomorrow. Mike Woodson, fantastic stuff. Honest, sounds ridiculous, but it is kind of funny. Now, I like to always say, Kevin, you know me, I want to put on my hat and be the commissioner. We love the NCAA tournament, Kevin, men's side. Every single year, it's a lot of fun. They jack up the seeds. We don't get too upset. We just live with it, and we watch it play out. The women's side should be ashamed of herself. They should have a redraw today. Like, I should be able to come in to women's college basketball and say, this isn't happening. Because I would make number one seed LSU, number one seed Iowa, number one seed South Carolina, number one seed UConn, and tell the people to deal with it. Because that's what the people want in the Final Four. Deal with it.
No.
You can't say no to this.
No, I can. You know why?
You can't.
Pro
you can't
wrestling,
say no.
Donnie.
No, pro wrestling.
Stars.
No.
Stars need to draw and bring others up. Okay.
No. No.
So Caitlin Clark will get some eyes on other folks. I mean, also, what a wildly disrespectful thing to say to their season, by the way. Like UCLA and Stanford.
Yeah, who cares about that?
Have great seasons nobody cares to get to that. The two. Texas
you want to bring
one.
People into the tent, Kevin. Like, you're not put. MJF is not wrestling a dark match, Kevin. MJF is not wrestling a dark match. He's not doing it. Bring him into the tent.
By then saying you won't put it on until April 5th is not what you think it is.
Iowa should have a bye into the Final Four versus LSU. Everybody else, do whatever you want. That's what the people want. Give the people what they want. You will make more money than you ever thought of. Make me commissioner of women's basketball. We might be bigger than the Super Bowl if you make it that way. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here to start the new work week right here on Moneyline. Been a long day for me already, K-Dub. I'll tell you right now, like, I get up fairly early, right? Around 6 o'clock every day. That includes weekends because my dog has, like, an alarm in his head, too, and just jumps all over me. And I don't mind it because you have the rest of the day, Saturday, Sunday, for the most part for me now, to sort of relax and do what you got to do. So I don't mind waking up early. I go to bed fairly early anyway. Weekends, I probably stay up to, like, 10:30 maybe as opposed to 8:30 like during the week. But today, 3 o'clock wake up. And usually it's like, okay, well, Donnie, what time did you go to bed? Well, I tried to go to bed at like 8 o'clock, but it didn't work because I was waking up at 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, knowing that I hope my alarm is there. I can't miss this 3 o'clock wake-up call. And I got like the worst night of sleep, and it always – does that happen with you? You got to wake up early the next day for like a flight? Do you ever sleep to your alarm? It never happens for me. I never get that.
It can be a struggle. I think your body knows – if you're in a sense of panic is maybe too strong, but your body's like, nah, like, you're not comfortable.
No.
When we're out in Vegas, Donnie, every single time we go for these Super Bowls, I'm like, I'm going to oversleep, man. Like, someone's going to have to come get me up out of this room. Like, you know, it's going to be bad. So you're not comfortable with it, you know?
Now, how about this? Think about this, Kevin, for next Super Bowl. We film everything the day before, like mid-afternoon, and run it live in the morning. Because, like, we're only talking football, right?
I mean...
Can we do this?
Can we just get a backdrop behind us that looks like...
Yes!
Lens?
Yes!
And we just...
And, like, do it from my house. Like, you can come over and do it from my house.
Well, done every other year, guy? Is that how that works? You know what I mean?
Could be. Like, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's an honor to go. It's great for the industry. It's great for your look. It's great for the company. And that's why we do that stuff. But I keep on, like, laughing and getting the joke out of, like, boy, oh, boy, man. If next year, like, hey, you know what? We're going all in for San Francisco the following year. We're going to skip New Orleans. I don't know how I feel about that one. I'm like, you know what? Not a bad idea. Having some fun here. It's what we do on Moneyline. We have fun. Tournaments. Hot all week long. Make sure you keep the dial here for JP Behind the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.